Well, glory. He managed. Thank God good. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. We see God at work in marvelous ways, and I appreciate that so very much. I told the preacher that if he stuck with me, when I came here, I said, "Preacher, now if you'll stick with me and let me work some here, I'll get you on the front page of the paper." Well, I didn't get him, but I got his cousin on the front page of the paper. So I got Rocky on the front page. That's glory. That's good. And then we got Rocky's mom and dad on television. I'm telling you, listen, you come to Lebanon, you don't ever know what's going to happen to you. I tell you, I'll be ready for the television interview. It's coming. Yes, sir. But we appreciate so much God working in that. I'm so excited. Whenever I give money to India, I give money, I give prayers, I give other things to India. I do that because I love the Lord and love the people. But when all those people, we're averaging almost two people a day being saved in India. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I get part of the credit for that. I mean, I'm paying for that, some of that, and I'm praying for some of that. So I get part of the credit for that. So that's good for me. Well, we had Brother Todd Browder here. It weren't much, but we did the best we could with him when we had him. Worked with him. You tell him I said that. And we trained him up the best we could, sent him off to a foreign country, way across the country, 10 miles down the road, down yonder, to St. John Church. And God's done blessing him in the work there. Glory, hallelujah. As far as them 22 people got saved, I think God used part of us to help part of that. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's just an outreach of what we are. We sent him as a missionary. Yeah. Tried to do what we could. Well, ask yourself this question. Was they getting saved before he went there? No. Would they get saved now? Yes. Glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's good. Ain't God good? He works all kinds of things. And see, y'all didn't know it tonight, I don't think. But we have in our midst tonight two people who have come all the way from Germany just to be in the best church in South Carolina. Boy, isn't that great. That's Sean and Petra. Sean is my wife's nephew. And we love them, appreciate them so much being with us tonight. Coming, they could have been anywhere they wanted to tonight, but they wanted to come. They kept hearing about the best church in South Carolina, and they wanted to come see what it was all about. And so we're thankful for them being with us tonight. In your hand, I have given you a little thing. I'm going to talk about some ways that we can be enjoy life and do some good things. One of the things that keeps us from enjoying life, and I remember that I had this, when I thought about this, is the fact that when we get sick or we don't feel good, and this is a time not to feel good because the weather's bad, if you got arthritis and all kind of stuff going on, all kind, you know, and if you don't feel good, it's hard to feel good when you don't feel good. And so when you feel sick a little bit. Well, what I had done was I a lot of times when I go to hospitals and I talk to people, your heart just aches so bad. One of the prayer requests we had tonight was for a small baby. Is that one? Where's that one? Did we not do that one? Where did we put that one? Didn't have that one. Where's that one for the small baby at? Did we have one on here for a small baby? It's in the. That's Pete. Didn't you? Who gave me that one? Someone for a small baby. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You gave it to me. All right. Oh, it's back there. I've got some ladies working, and it got lost in the conveying. But at any rate, let me read that because that's very important to me. When I go into the baby wards, I can pretty much handle it. I don't mean this wrong. I've been in it for a long time. I've seen a lot of people sick in a lot of ways, and it always hurts. But I know people get sick, and you have to deal with things. I've held her hand when they died. I've listened to them cry. I've listened to my daddy beg for death over and over and over again because he hurts so bad, and I've been through all that. But I'll tell you this. When I go to the children's ward and them youngins are sick, it's hard for me to go there. I have to pray hard, visit quick, and leave quick. Because it's just hard for me to stay there because I want to hold them so bad and just say it's going to be all right, kid's going to be all right. And you can't do much with them. But we want to play also for Blake Taylor. It's 5-month-old critical in Duke Hospital. So we want to pray for that one as well tonight. But when we talk about sick people and you don't know what to say a lot of times, I mean, you just say, well, I hope you'll feel better. I hope things will do better. And you really don't know what to say. Well, I thought if I could just figure out something to be able to talk with those people about and share with those people. And that's where I came up with this. This tells them some scriptures that will help them. And also a way that they can start to get healed. Because the Bible says that the Lord turn the captivity of Job, who was sick from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, lost all his family, all of his possessions, in a miserable situation. Friends that really gave him all kind of bad advice, but God healed, God turned his captivity. God began to restore him to health and prosperity when he started praying for his friends. And it's easy when you're sick to turn in on yourself and start just thinking of nobody but you. And when you began to pray for other people, God began to do something special for you. So that's what this is all about. If you know of somebody who's sick and you don't know what to say to them, you don't know, what do I do other than say I'm praying for you? Well, give them this and say, hey, I want you to know, if you try this, and by the way, this works, in case you're wondering, this works. So I hope it will be a blessing and a help to you and an encouragement to you as well. So we're going to talk tonight about how you can enjoy life. I don't know about y'all, but I like to enjoy life. I'm telling you, I just like to enjoy life. And so I'm going to tell you tonight some ways that I believe are real, not just a sermon. I believe these are some things that we're going to use a verse that we've used not too long ago to begin with, because this is a good verse. I started to get another one. I said, I ain't going to get another one. I like that one. And we didn't use it not long ago, but I like this verse, and we're going to do it here. I'm going to give you six principles that will help you enjoy life. And if you apply them to your life, they'll make a difference for you. All right? First principle is this. Complain less. It's hard to be happy when you're complaining. It's hard for the people around you to be happy when you're complaining. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10 and 11. First Peter 3:10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days." I like both of them things, don't you? Loving life, seeing good days. "Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." And if you remember when we talked about this before, we talked about it in bitterness. It means bitterness. It means things like poison that will come out of you, like complaints it would be. And then verse 11, "Let him eschew or stay away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." So the first thing that helps you to enjoy life is to complain less. And you know it takes a real effort to do that. It's easy to complain and hard to compliment. It's easy to find problems with things and easy to find and hard to find praise for things. But you need to make it your goal that this week, by God's grace, you're going to complain less. And you're going to have all kinds of things. You're going to complain about the weather. You're going to complain about traffic. You're going to complain about food. You're going to complain about clothes. You're going to complain about work. You're going to complain about something to complain about. But if you'll make up your mind that whenever you catch yourself complaining, you'll say, you know what? This is not helping not one thing in the world except making me feel bad and making the people around me feel bad. In fact, I'll just throw this out. Now, I don't have this problem, but it's kind of the other way around in our household. But the scriptures say it's better to dwell in the wilderness than in a house with a nagging woman. That's just kind of complaining. So why do you think men go hunting and all that stuff? Get away from those things. So complain less and enjoy more of your life. So first thing you do, first way to enjoy life is to complain less. Second way to enjoy life is to give more. So wait a minute now. How can I give more? My problem, the reason I'm not enjoying life is because I don't have the stuff that I need. If I had more money to pay these bills, if I had more money to do what I wanted to do, then I could enjoy life. Now you're telling me to give more? No, I don't need to give more. I need to get more. No, the Bible says the other way around. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you met, with all it shall be measured to you again. In other words, the way that you give to other people, God says that's the same rule that I'm going to use to give back to you. So if you give other people little and don't really encourage and don't really help other people, then God said, I'll teach you the same way that you feed them. And he says that about finances and about money. I'm telling you, I believe there's a lot of reasons God's blessing our church. We don't know all of them. Part of them is God things. And that's we just let God do his thing. Say glory. Praise God for that. We're glad of that. But I'm telling you, part of what God's blessing for, that things begin to turn around when we begin to give to God. People in this church begin to say, you know what? I think I'm just going to start tithing. I'm going to start giving some of my resources to God and to his work. And next thing you know, God began to pour out blessings. Now, listen, you can't buy souls. It was paid for through Jesus Christ. But what God says is, if I got people that's going to pay, I'm going to bless them people because they'll take care of my youngins. I mean, listen, if I had some youngins and I couldn't raise them, I had to let somebody else raise them, I'd want somebody to take care of them. Not somebody that wouldn't take care of them, not feed them right, not give them what they needed. I'd want somebody to take care of them. Well, God does that. So he says, give more. If you want to enjoy life, find something every day that you can give. Now, my goal in life every day, if I can't always give money, but to find, I can give a Bible. I just gave you a sheet of paper. You know, I can give all kind of stuff. There's always something that you can give. You can give a compliment to someone. And it can be, you know, you don't have to fake it. It can be real. The truth about the matter is, I can call you ladies pretty because you know what? Y'all are pretty. Now, I don't say a whole lot about the men in here being pretty because I don't want to have to stretch things. But the ladies are pretty, and I can say good things about them. And by the way, if that preacher brings back that holy kiss, I'm going to sit on the back seat. So we're moving right along. With things. I think him kissing Miss Les is absolutely lovely. I'm telling you, and don't mean this wrong, people misunderstand it, but if I got a chance to kiss Miss Les, I think I was blessed too. That's not my job, it's preacher's job, all right? I'd say glory. But I wouldn't want to kiss a preacher. So you give and you give more, all right? So you complain less and you give more. And then the third thing you do, if you're going to enjoy life, you give, you complain less, you give more. The third thing you do is you laugh out loud. And you say, wait a minute now, Mike. Now, tell me the scriptural principle for laughing out loud. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. God says this, if I've given you the opportunity to enjoy the good things that I have around you, then enjoy those things. Laugh sometimes. Just have a good time. I mean, just enjoy things sometimes. You don't have to be sober. People get the idea sometimes that Christians are dead and dry and they don't come to Lebanon Church. Man, we enjoy life here. We sing glory and praise the Lord and enjoying the good things of God. And we ought to rejoice. I tell you what, let's do. Y'all look mighty sober tonight. I don't think y'all enjoy this sermon on enjoyment. So we're going to let you enjoy it some, all right? I want you all to stand up for just a minute. You're getting too comfortable. Stand up just for a minute, all right? You've been sitting for a while. Now, I know some of y'all don't want to do this, and you don't have to. I can't make it. You don't have to, all right? But I want you just to raise your hand and say, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Woo, I feel better because y'all feel better. All right, you can sit down again. All right. That's it. Yep. Oh, looky here. You getting greedy, don't you? You want to enjoy more and more, don't you? Yes. Don't it work? Don't you feel better than you felt when you come in now? Glory. They ought to laugh some. You ought to enjoy some. You ought to enjoy the good things of God. Now, of course, y'all know my philosophy. It's not. It is biblical, but I have to be careful because we have medical people in our congregation and they look at me cross-eyed. But see, the Bible says, I believe that you're going to live till you die unless a tree falls on you. That's my philosophy. You're going to live till you die unless a tree falls on you. The Bible says time, that is live till you die, and chance, a tree falls on you, happen to all men. So you're going to live till you die unless a tree falls on you. You know, that's where it's going to be. And there's not a whole lot. My brother, oldest brother, used to be a vegetarian. He all that crazy junky food. He didn't eat no bologna and cheese and hot dogs. And I mean, he ate that junky stuff, you know, vegetables. Anyway, he ate all that stuff. And you know what? He's got heart problems, all kind of stuff. And he went to the doctor and talked to the doctor. And the doctor said, doctor, what can I do? What can I eat? What doc says, not a whole lot you can do, son. You see, 95% of what's wrong with a person is their grandma. That is, it's hereditary. It comes through their genes. And so, you're going to live till you die if the tree don't fall on you. And I don't mean you need to abuse yourself or do anything wrong, but I think you ought to enjoy life sometimes. I mean, you ought to eat a steak just because you got an opportunity. I'm telling you about me, I eat a steak, I'll eat it. Yes, sir. Say glory. You can eat the vegetables if you want to. I'll say glory. I'll eat that thing. Yes, sir. And enjoy life. Just enjoy. Laugh out loud sometimes. Just enjoy serving God. But what a difference it would make. I've told you over and over, and I think this is one of what things that make a difference in our church. If you go to work tomorrow, or go to school tomorrow, or go to your home tonight, or whatever that, and you're say, you know, your family asks, you know, they didn't come to church for whatever reason, and they say, well, how was the service? It was pretty good. Oh, by the way, won't you come be with me Sunday morning? Thank you. I think I'll catch measles. Listen, who wants to go to something like that? I mean, when you go back home, you ain't got to fake it. And if you so dead spiritually, you didn't enjoy it, you might as well get on the altar and get right tonight before you leave. But you need to be able to go back home and go to work tomorrow and say, "Woo, glory, you ought to have been in my church last night. I'm telling you what's true. Woo, that fellow looked funny, acted funny, but we sure did have a good time. We enjoyed serving God." And you know what? They don't want to say, "What in the world's going on in that place? I'm going to check them people out." And they'll come. And when they come, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of their heart. And they get saved. And then they get that joy in their heart. And when they get that joy in their heart, suddenly they go back to their work and act just as crazy as we are. So glorious. So complain less, give more, laugh loud. And number four, pray hard. John chapter 16, verse 24 says, "Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive." Because God wants to meet the necessities of your life. Well, no, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." God said, I want to bless you just because I want to bless you. I want to give you good stuff. I want to just rain. I want to open up the doors of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Why? Because I'm a good God and I like doing stuff like that. I mean, I don't believe God's stingy. I don't believe God's grouchy. I don't believe God doesn't want His children to prosper and do good. Now, I know God realizes that sometimes if He blesses us with something, He don't want to give you anything that will harm you physically and spiritually and all that kind of stuff. And if you can't handle it, God don't want you to have it. But if you show God you're responsible for it, God will let God give it to you. You pray and let God give it to you. And just pray hard. I mean, just say, "Lord, listen, I want to enjoy life, God, so Lord, you just see how much I can handle, God. You just lay it on me, God. See what I can handle here. Help me to grow into it, God. I mean, if I can't handle but $10,000 this year, God, help me to grow to $11,000 next year, God. Help me to be able to handle that money, do what I need to. But help me not only to handle the money, but the possessions, the things that you have. I don't mean just wrong. There's a table back there full of stuff that some people already got some stuff off of. It's free tonight at the church. If you don't get it, it's thrown in the trash can. We've got a computer thing that's got one leg broke that somebody broke that pushed it over here. Won't mention any name, preacher. But it broke. I just think I'm a preacher now. All right. But somebody broke it coming over here. But listen, it's good. Computer desk, if you don't get it tonight, it goes into junk tomorrow. And you know what? Most of y'all need to take a day at your house and clean out your garage and clean out your house and get rid of that junk you couldn't live without 2 years ago. I mean, you just felt like you had to have it. How many of you have got something piled up on your treadmill already? No, don't talk about it. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. All right. But you need to say, God, I know I can't handle everything, God. And I know sometimes you've blessed me with stuff and I don't use like I need to, God, and help me to learn to do better. But I just believe that whatever you'll use the way God wants you to use it, He'll give you what you need to use what you need. And you just pray hard for that. And that's why you enjoy life, is you just, and you know, the most exciting thing in the world is letting God, watching how God's going to meet the need. Watching how God's gonna work. He does things in such good ways. I mean, when the preacher finally gets through telling you about this thing, this other thing here, I mean, you're going to be excited. Y'all going to jump up and down. Y'all going to say glory here. I mean, this is good stuff. God does good stuff for His people. And so you pray hard. So you complain less, you give more, you laugh loud, you pray hard. And I know y'all say, well, Mike, whoopee-doo. Well, number five is probably the heart of the whole matter. You live right. If you want to enjoy life, you live right. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, one of those verses that I have on my board that I look at real often, says, Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even His God, anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. I like it when God opens up the oil of gladness and pours it out on people, don't you? I like that. And he says, live right. And if you live right, you'll enjoy life. If someone comes to my house and you know, I'm doing a right thing and I can open the door, let them in, everything, I'm happy about that. But if I was doing something wrong, boy, I'd hate to see them come. I wouldn't want them to come out and say, man, I'm scared they'll find out what I'm doing. Right there, you know, you can't enjoy life like that. If you're going to enjoy life, you've got to be open and above board and let people see things in your life. One of our preachers at the conference at our minister's breakfast yesterday was talking about, we're talking about the internet and different things, and one of our ministers was talking about the video games and some of the things they're doing to kids and how that, I mean, he said, listen, they'll get addicted to these games, the online games. See, used to, you know, those days when we played Mario Brothers and all that kind of stuff, said you could play it for a while and you beat it, and after you beat it a time or two, you kind of lost interest in it. You didn't know too much like that. But said now they got these online games, and every time you play it, it's a little bit different. You never can really beat it. It's always just a little bit different. And it hooks kids. It hooks adults. He was talking about how many adults in his church are hooked on that. A doctor that had played all night long had to call in to work sick the next day because he stayed up all night playing video games. And different people that had, you know, just hooked on those things. And just, he said, that's a problem with that. And we think about pornography and all this kind of thing. But one of the preachers said, well, the guys, I don't really worry about it too much. They said, well, man, Superman here. We're talking about Superman here. He don't worry about it. He don't have any problems with any stuff. He said, I've got a program we advertise through our national association. I think the name of it is called Covenant Eyes. And what it does is this. You put it on your computer, and it sends a report every week to two people. In this man's case, it was his wife and another preacher that preached on the church right across from him, another fellow he knows. It lists everywhere he visited on the web. And his wife And this preacher gets a list every week. It sends a report of every place they went. He went on the web. And he said, you know what? He said, I don't have to worry about it. Because if you live right, you ain't got nothing to worry about. And if you tempted to do wrong, I know my wife's going to find out and beat me in the head. Gently in love with a good Christian attitude. So you live right. And if you live right, it will make a difference in your life. Let me list for you real quickly, if I can. When I talk about living right, it's easy to say the good, positive part. Let me give you the negative side of this moment, all right? Let me give you 10 things that will happen to you if you sin. 10 consequences of sin. That's why you can't enjoy life, because of the consequences of sin. Number one, when you sin, you get deeper and deeper into it. Sin leads into captivity. The man takes a drink, the drink takes a drink, the drink takes the man. You start off with light pornography. It gets darker and deeper and more prevalent. And after a while, you will think nothing of murder as part of a sex act or anything like that. And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. First thing, consequence of sin is that it leads to more sin. Second consequence of sin is it invites God's discipline. God says if He loves you, and He does, and you sin, He's going to spank you. If He doesn't spank you, you're a bastard and not a son. And so I don't want to be a bastard. I want to be blessed. I want to be one of God's people. And if you sin, instead of God being able to say, Mike, I'm going to let you enjoy life, He says, well, thank you, boy. So that you don't enjoy life with that. So one of the consequences is discipline. Third consequence is the time spent in sin is lost forever. If I go on my computer tomorrow and I spend 3 hours, I'm just picking numbers, right? 3 hours playing video games. And I don't know if that's a sin. I'm going to use pornography because that's a common. I want to do something that knows a sin then, okay? All right. If I spend 3 hours watching or doing, reading, whatever, doing pornography, that's 3 hours that I can't work for God. And that's lost forever. I don't care what I do from that day. Those 3 hours of my service for God are gone. And that might have been during that 3 hours, I might have won 6 people to God. Who knows? But I lost that time. That's gone. So the third consequence is we lose that time forever. The fourth consequence of sin is that it grieves God. And I can't hardly stand that sometimes. To know that God is grieved, the God of the universe is grieved because of me. I can almost see God cry sometimes and just weep and weep for us and say, surely they can be better. I mean, Jesus died for them. Can't they understand? Don't they know? I mean, what's going on here? You do it for your kids. Why wouldn't God do it for His? And He grieves that sin. Grieves the heart of God. Number five, sin impacts those around the sinner. If I start getting into, you know, if I say, for instance, I rob the bank or whatever like that, that's a sin. You know, I do that wrong. Well, they'll catch me. We'll talk about it in a minute. They'll catch me. Well, that's going to impact my wife. If I go to jail, that's going to impact my wife. It's going to impact our income. It's going to impact my ministry. It's going to impact you. I mean, if it impacts people all around you, when you sin, it's not you. You can't sin in a bubble. It impacts people all around you. And that's a consequence of sin. And you can't enjoy life. I mean, how can you, if you sin, you do wrong, and you come into these friendly, good, nice people here at Lebanon Church. In your mind, what Satan is saying to you, all them people talking about you and looking at you, they ain't. They thinking, I don't mean it wrong. They don't even think about you. But in your mind, you're thinking that. And you can't enjoy. And I've had service after service where I'd preach a message and go to the door to greet people. And people would tell me, I'm serious, they'd say, preacher, who told you? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. Who told you about, you know, blah, blah, blah? I said, well, nobody, but until you just did, but I'm sort of interested to hear about it. And they said, well, I know you knew about the way you preached. I didn't have a clue. But the Holy Spirit did. And the Holy Spirit convicted your heart. And you can't enjoy life, you can't enjoy service when sin comes in your life. So sin leads to deeper sin. Sin brings discipline. Sin wastes our time. Sin grieves God. Sin impacts those around us. Sin keeps me from serving God like I should. I use this one, and I know it's a difficult thing. And I know some of you, and I love you so much. I tell you this, and I'm not trying to just say anything. I'm just telling you the truth. In every church I've ever pastored, some of the best people in those churches were people that had gone through the agony of divorce. In every church I've had. I mean, some of my dearest and closest friends have gone through the agony of divorce. Having said that, we know that biblically, a divorced person is disqualified from several positions in a church. And they cannot do what they would like to do, and I think would be beneficial to the kingdom of God if they could do it because of the problem that's there. Not only that, there are things in our lives that when we do these wrong, and I'll just use a really bad one and let you understand what I'm saying, okay? If for instance, today, and let me use me, okay? Suppose today that somehow or another I abuse sexually a young child. Now, God help me, I never would, but I'm just trying to make an illustration, okay? But I sexually abused a young child. All right. Not only would that disqualify me from being the pastor of this church, y'all fire me. If you don't fire me, you ought to. I'd vote to fire me. If it was me, I'd vote to fire me, all right? And so you would fire me, all right? But not only would it do that, but see, if y'all, because of the legal things and everything, y'all couldn't let me teach a young people's class. I would be barred from teaching. I should be. I mean, but that would have to happen. I would be barred from teaching that class. Now, can you begin to see what I'm trying to say? It has consequences that it impacts me and it keeps me from serving God like I should. And there are people who could serve God, but they can't because of sin coming to their life. Sin not only keeps me from serving God, but it also blocks my prayer power. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Now, how can you enjoy life when you say, God, I have a need? Oh, God, that's right. You can't hear me because I got sin in my heart. So it blocks that prayer power that you have with God. Man, I like praying. Y'all know I like praying. And I like coming to God and saying, God, I got a need, God. Oh, by the way, Miss Paula lives with me. That always gets his attention. I mean, God sort of ignores me sometimes, but when I say Miss Paula's name, he says, whoa, stop the phone, everybody, whoa, stop. Max, say something about Miss Paul. I got to see what's going on here. And he listens. He pays attention. Yes, sir. Rick. Y'all think I'm Josh and you? Wherever we get ahead and I'll show y'all. All right. But I'm telling you, I like to pray. I believe prayer is a way that God blesses his people. And I can't even conceive of what it would be like to not be able to pray and believe God would answer it. And if I had sin in my life, I couldn't do that. My thing would be, well, God probably won't answer that because I've got iniquity in my heart and God probably won't answer that. I won't go there. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. All right? Sin blocks my prayer power. Number 8, sin makes me a captive and a fool. You go deeper and deeper into sin, it makes you a slave. Some of y'all have husbands, children, maybe even a wife, and they've been captured by alcohol or drugs. And they have stood in your face and told you with the greatest sincerity they can possibly muster, time after time after time, that was the last time I quit. I'm going to do better from now on. You can write it in the book. I'm going to do better from now on. And they do. For a week or two. but they're captive. Sin captures you. Not only does sin capture you, sin makes you a fool. It will make you do things that you never would have thought you would have done. It'll make you act like a fool, look like a fool, be like a fool. It'll take away all dignity, all honor, all respect you've got. It'll make you just go through. You can't enjoy life like that. It will turn you into a captive, into a fool. Number 9, sin will harden your heart against others and against God. When people sin, their heart gets hard. It takes a hard heart. Now, I talked about youth in illustration here. I didn't even want to use it, I'm telling you. But I can't hardly even conceive of deliberately harming a young child and thinking that would give me some sort of sexual pleasure. I mean, I didn't want to go there kind of thing. But sin brings you into such captivity, and it hardens your heart until people that would never, never beat their youngins. I mean, I'm not talking about spanking a youngin in discipline. I'm talking about beating a youngin out of anger and all kind of other things and going through. I'm talking about things that ought not ever happen. Wives and youngins and others. And sin will make you act like a fool. It will harden your heart against others and against God. And then number 10, sin leads you deeper than you want to go, invites God's discipline, wastes the time, grieves God, impacts others, keeps me from serving God, blocks my prayer power, makes me a captive and a fool, hardens my heart. But number 10, the reason I can't enjoy life when I've got sin in my life is because sin will always find you out. It'll always. The Bible says you can be sure your sin will find you out. And it's hard to enjoy life when you're looking over your shoulder the whole time. When you kind of keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. And you kind of keep saying, well, who's going to find me out now? And you know, every time somebody says something, they say, you're talking about me. And they're just, that sin is always honing you. It's always trying to grab your heart and you know it's going to find you out one day, and you just know it's going to happen, and you can't enjoy life. So the reason I say to live right is because there's consequences to sin. So you enjoy life by complaining less, giving more, laughing loud, praying hard, living right. But number 6, close it up with this one. You enjoy life by drawing near to God. Drawing near. Psalm 16, verse 11. Had to use that one. That's the verse. Had to use it. That's good. All right. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Believe it all in my heart. God's got a plan for everybody. Us Presbyterians can believe that. Y'all believe what you want to. But I believe God's got a plan for everybody. I believe He's got something for everybody to do. And I believe you won't ever be happy. You won't ever be happy until you get where God wants you to be. Believe that all in my heart. I don't care. Listen, if I had an opportunity today to make $10 million, and I've had some pretty good opportunities in my life, and it was not in the will of God, that would be miserable. Be miserable. He will show you the path of life, but then it says, in His presence. This is the good part. In His presence is fullness of joy. God says, when you get close to me, you get happy. Don't you? When you get close to God, don't you get happy? I do. I mean, I enjoy being close to God. I mean, I just no real youngins in here. Not, well, there's one, but he's too little to understand what I'm saying. Okay, we won't go there. All right. I'm an old man. My wife's an old man. It's cold weather. About 6 o'clock in the morning, just about the time my alarm goes off, sometimes she's snuggled up close to me. Hard to get up. I just like her being close to me. I mean, I'm going to go there. All right. I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. See, I try not to let my youngins leave this church, but I don't get to touch them, let them know, hug them or something, let them know, hey, we care about you at Lebanon Church. We love you. So everybody. What's John 16 and verse 4? Well, all you people have backslid. Lord, help them. Lord, help them, God. Help them, God. John 16 and verse 4 is on your refrigerator. And it says this, everybody needs a little bit of petting every now and then. And if you don't have that on your refrigerator, what in the world's wrong with you? All right. That's a key verse. You need to learn that one. Yes, sir. And you husbands point it out sometimes to them wives. But that verse, preach it, but got to do that one. All right. Need a little bit of petting every now and then. All right. And that same thing with God. You know what you ought to do with God? When's the last time you snuggled up close to God and didn't want nothing? Don't you know God gets tired of you always asking for something? Always complaining and griping and begging. You know what I like to get upside God sometimes? I like to get up real close to God and God say, Mike, what you want, boy? Nothing, God, just want to be close to you. Just want to be in the same room with you, God. Just want to snuggle up in your lap. Just want to say, glory, God. And say, God, let's hear you running the world pretty good without my help. God, go to it. It's like being with you, God. It's like being near to you. Just like feeling your presence. God, just feels good being in your house. Feels good being in your arms, God. Like being close to you. And that's the way to enjoy life. And I hope you'll enjoy life, son. What a miserable thing it would be to go through life, get to the end, and even though the preacher would say, Brother so-and-so was a fine man. We appreciated him in our church. Sister so-and-so was a wonderful lady. We appreciate them in our church. Everybody in the congregation is thinking, well, they finally quit complaining. They finally, no more complaints now. You know, finally got over it. Man, they look like they couldn't hardly enjoy life at all. I mean, they just sort of look like they just was miserable all the time. Maybe they're happy now. Well, why don't you get happy before you die, all right? Why don't you let God just bless you real quick? Make something special for you. Let's pray that time to do that, all right? Father, we love you. Thank you so much. We do love you tonight. You are such a great God. You're wonderful. You do great and mighty things for your people. We don't deserve it. God, if we got what we deserve, God, oh, man, it'd be so bad. We couldn't live with it. But, God, you love us, and you care for us, and you do good things for us, and you just bless us, and then you bless us, and then you bless us some more. And we thank you for all you're doing, God. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. God, we thank you for what you're going to do. God, you just, Lord, we look around this church, and we see all the work going on and all the things that are happening. And, God, isn't it so exciting just to know you're at work? And we thank you, God. And we praise you. God, we thank you for the people we prayed for tonight. We claim their victory right now. And we pray that in a special way that whenever you do a great work in these prayer requests, that we'd be able to hear what a great job you've done. So God bless us, guide us, keep us in your work, keep us in your will. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you're at liberty in the Lord. We appreciate you tonight.